Hi, thanks for tuning in to Fairy Tale Science, where we explore the physics in children's stories and take a look at the friction in fiction. I'm Kevin, your host and primary researcher. Joining me is our storyteller and our co-host, Kay.
Hi there. We love reading to our kids, but a lot of these stories are scientifically dubious at best. So follow along as we break down our childhood misconceptions about the world around us and have a fun look at what would happen if these stories took place in our universe. Today we are blowing the roof off the story of the three little pigs to determine, is it worth the effort to build a sturdy brick house to protect against a gusty wolf? Before we get started, let's review the story of the three little pigs. Three little pigs set out to start their lives. The first pig builds a house out of straw, the second out of sticks, and the third out of bricks. A wolf comes walking down the street and calls out to the first pig in the straw house to open the door. When the pig refuses, the wolf threatens, "Then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house down." And the wolf does blow the house down. The first pig runs to the stick house for refuge, where the scene plays out again, with both pigs running to the brick house for safety, which the wolf is not able to blow down. This brings us back to our question. If the story took place in our universe, would a wolf be able to blow down both a straw and a stick house? So Kevin, let's start with house number one, the straw house. In cartoons, this house is always portrayed as flimsy and a terrible choice to protect you from a wolf. Is this accurate?
From what we see, typically we see like the thatched houses and whatnot, and they're good, they're waterproof, they're rain, you know, rain resistant, but they're not typically considered good, heavy construction. But the University of Bath in Leeds built a house out of straw capable of sustaining 190 kilometer per hour winds. That's a Category 3 hurricane on the Saffir-Simpson scale.
Saffir-Simpson? It sounds like you're just making words up to prove a point.
No. Engineer Herbert Saffir and meteorologist Robert Simpson worked together in the 70s to create a scale to categorize hurricanes.
Okay, so what did they do before the 70s?
I think it was just like it's a bit windy, to, my house fell down.
I wonder if it was like Yelp, like a rating scale.
Well, like a 1 to 5, yeah, call it in, because the internet wasn't a thing. It's a bit windy out, maybe we should call the hurricane helpline.
Yeah, 5 out of 5, would not return.
Hurricane helpline, well, how can I help you?
That's a joke from Day at the Race. Forget it. Anyway, you be the funny one.
Yeah, leave that to the professionals.
Anyway, Saffir-Simpson scale measures the sustained wind speed over the course of 1 minute and assigns that to a tier from tropical depression to tropical storm to a category 1 to 5 hurricane.
I was right. It is a Yelp scale.
No.
I think we should rename this.
No.
This is no longer the Saffir-Simpson scale.
No.
Yep. It's official.
You can't just rename something because you thought of it after someone else thought of it.
Yeah, by not that long, though. Like 50 years? That's fine. Anyways, let's get back on track here. So it seems like a straw house might actually be a pretty safe choice, or at least safer than we've been led to believe. So let's move on to the stick house. How sturdy is that when compared to the brick house?
Well, log cabins are a thing, right? I mean, they're used all over the world. They're effective against all kinds of weather conditions. They're typically faster to build than a brick house, but there's certainly a massive amount of skill required to do it right. I mean, the joinery alone takes years to master. Brick houses are more common in suburbia because they're fairly simple to build. They're strong. They're easy to maintain, but they take a lot longer to actually construct. And in the end, if there's a wolf chasing after my bacon, I think I'd rather have the log cabin up and ready when he gets there, instead of lugging a bunch of bricks around.
That is a good point. Okay, so we've established that all three of these structures can be pretty strong in their own right. So what can you tell me about the wolf?
Well, really what we want to look at is the impact that a wolf can exert on our curly-tailed friends' new homes. And we need to think about two things: pressure and volume. These two components really determine how much force our villain can apply and how long it can be applied for, thus the potential for damage. When we talk about the pressure that we exert on our lungs to breathe in or out, we're really looking at differential pressure. What is the increase or decrease in pressure around over ambient temperature? So when we're walking around our day-to-day lives, we live in about 100 kilopascals of pressure. In order to breathe, our diaphragm drops, creating negative space in our chest cavity, and it forces air into our lungs. When we breathe out, the diaphragm raises, pushing on our lungs and squeezing that air back out. The difference in pressure in our lungs, it's minimal. Much more than 10 kilopascals, and the alveoli in our lungs would actually rupture. So in effect, that means the most force that the wolf can exert is only about 10% of the ambient pressure.
Okay, so I need some context for this. If the pressure that we're talking about, is that enough to cause any damage, like to a structure?
So in 1950, Samuel Gladstone published a book called The Effects of Nuclear Weapons. Dark, but don't worry, it ties in. In his book, he shared his research that shows it only takes about 34 kilopascals of differential pressure to knock a brick house down. But that's still a 300% increase over what the wolf can generate.
Okay, so it's not looking great for the wolf's success at this point. But you said we were going to talk about two things, pressure and volume. So where are we landing with volume then?
Right, so now we need to look at the volume of air that the wolf has access to in a single breath. And this lets us calculate how long that force, that pressure, can continuously be applied. In theory, even the slightest breeze will erode stone, but it takes a long time. The average male gray wolf's lung capacity is about 0.866 liters.
I'm purposefully glossing over how you know that. So then how does this ratio of pressure and volume rate on the Saffir-Simpson scale?
Well, it doesn't, right? So let's say the wolf purses his lips to about 6 millimeters opening. That's about a quarter of an inch. And he blows as hard as he can. He'll run out of air in 6 seconds. And he needs at least a minute to qualify on the scale, no matter what the wind speed is or what the pressure is he can generate.
Huh, I would have never thought about that. Okay, so knowing that information, how would the story of the three little pigs go if it were scientifically accurate?
Right, so the wolf huffs and he puffs and he squeezes his diaphragm. He pushes all the air with all his might for 6 seconds. We're going to simplify the equation and give the story a fighting chance. We're going to ignore wind resistance. We're going to assume the air hits the wall at the exact same speed that it leaves the wolf's mouth, because no one really calculates wind resistance anyway. The wolf will hit a maximum wind speed of about 140 kilometers per hour, but not for long, and not nearly at high enough volume of air to cause any impact. So a column of air launches its way towards the wall. It strikes a 28 square millimeter section, with about 0.26 newtons of force. To put that into perspective, that's the force that a AA battery exerts on a table that it's just resting on.
Okay, wait. What if this is a magic wolf?
Okay, we're going to ramp it up.
Yes, we need to ramp this up.
Okay, so the wolf's lungs are literally pressure vessels. He can blow as hard as he wants.
Yes.
Okay, well, the terminal velocity of air, that's the maximum speed that the wind can blow, is about 330 meters per second. Again, we're ignoring air resistance and deceleration, but even with that volume of air, we're still only going to get up to 0.348 newtons. So that's enough to move one of those old incandescent light bulbs about 1 meter.
So if we ignore air resistance, deceleration, and give the wolf magical pressurized lungs, the most he could do would be, I don't know, like blow the front door open on the house?
I mean, maybe if it wasn't latched in the first place. The real problem here is sustainability. Even at low pressure, you could eventually blast your way through brick, but the wolf just runs out of air way too quickly, and it's not enough time to make any serious impact.
Okay. Okay, so if I'm understanding the science here, the updated version of the three little pigs is pretty different. Essentially, the first little pig makes sure the door is locked and stays inside when the wolf starts threatening to blow the house down. And while the wolf is huffing and puffing, the little pig has filmed and shared the futile effort. By the time the wolf gives up on the straw house and walks on to the stick house, the film is trending on Twitter, #HufflepuffWolf. The photo has become a parenting meme describing your toddler trying to blow out their birthday candles. And honestly, I think both of these stories are resonating with me at the moment. What do you think, Kevin?
Oh, this one's total hogwash. The wolf would get bored long before he could achieve his goal of becoming a Hamburglar.
Kevin, what did I tell you about trying to be funny? Join us this season as we take a deeper read into the physics behind some of the most famous fairy tales, answering questions such as, how much bread could the little red hen actually make with a single grain of wheat? How hard would a cow have to jump to clear the moon? And what would happen if a dragon flew around the world in 5 seconds, like in The Paper Bag Princess?
Thanks for listening. Please be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Fairy Tale Science Podcast. And remember, if you want to see the math from this episode, you can head over to fairytalescience.ca.
Join us next episode as we plant the seeds of knowledge and climb the tall tale of Jack and the Beanstalk to discover, how big is this vine anyway?